Morning, everyone. Welcome to God's house for worship this morning. So who's going to do it? Who's going to do the work of salvation? The word we're going to look at today, probably repeatedly, is grace. There's some Christian churches that teach, God does a little bit of grace, and then you need to finish it. There's another non-Christian church that teaches, grace from God is just that he gave you a plan, and now you need to execute it. You do it all. Today, you get to test the word of God and make sure grace is God does it all for us, for free, and it's a gift. Order of service is found in your worship folder. Let's begin at this time with our opening hymn, 402. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and to worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sin, Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church and all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. God, you so loved the world that you gave your only Son into death for our sin. Take our lives, Lord, and use them to lift up your Son so that all will be drawn to him and find eternal life, for he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First lesson this morning from Ephesians chapter 2 serves as a basis for the sermon. Grace is that attitude in the heart of God that he had for people. And so grace, the first concept we want to look at today, is that it's something free, undeserved for you, completely, entirely. Paul says that here. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Gospel this morning is from John chapter 3. So if in our first lesson we saw grace is something God had in his heart and wanted to express for people, we see in John chapter 3 that grace is then something that he did to his son so that he could be gracious to all people. We read, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the gospel of the Lord." Please be seated for hymn 391.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon today is the lesson from Ephesians chapter 2. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will show forth your praise. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the one thing the Lord had against them was that they lost their first love. It just wasn't as valuable to them anymore. They lost sight of how big of a deal and how important God's work for them was in Christ. By the time the Lord had told John to write a little letter to the church in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus was a well-established congregation, had a solid history. They were a hub of ministry. They were a congregation that loved God's teachings, were very hardworking and very focused on God's teachings, but they lost their first love that they were saved in Christ. Our congregation, in many ways, is much like the Ephesian congregation. We have a long and rich history. We're a well-established congregation in the area. We're a hub of ministry activity. We face the same temptation that congregation did too, to lose our first love, to lose sight of how important and how wonderful and how amazing our salvation is. The important thing then is to repent and go back to the beginning, to go back to the basics. This section of scripture for today is a very basic one among us, isn't it? This is one of the first things we talk about and teach in Sunday school, in our day school, in confirmation class. We drill this over and over and over. Yet no matter how many times we've recited it or reviewed it or read it, this is a big deal. Let's love it and let's cherish it. Let's hold it dear. Our salvation is so great. It's a great cause. It's great kindness, and it's for a great creation as well. God makes very clear what the cause of our salvation is here. It says, because of his great love for us, God. God is the great cause of our salvation and his great love for us. God did not just love his one and only Son. He did not just love his chosen people, the Israelites. He loved the whole world. That's what Jesus said in our gospel for today, isn't it? God loved the whole world with all of its dysfunction, with all of its destruction, with all of its deviancy. God loved the world with a serving and a sacrificial and a selfless love in Jesus. But it wasn't just God's love that was great. His mercy is great as well. Paul speaks of it here as God who is rich in mercy. Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all those other huge billionaires may have deep pockets with their hundreds of billions of dollars, but the abundant mercy of our God is bottomless. He has bailed out sinner after sinner from the wrath that they deserved for all eternity. He has pardoned soul after soul from the eternal death that they deserved. His mercy is so great. And also his grace. This section highlights God's grace. That is a gift of God. If you were to get into a terrible car accident and have to be taken by helicopter down to a hospital in Milwaukee to tend to your wounds, the bills for that would be awfully high. Extremely expensive. But God doesn't charge us anything for saving us. It's his gift to us. It's his gift to the world. It's great. The great cause of our salvation is God and his great love and mercy and grace. Yet when you and I think that we can do anything to add to that, or anything to cause our own salvation, we are diminishing just how great God's work is. I'm a fairly good person. I go to church regularly, or when I can't, I watch it online or on TV. I've been involved in different committees at church over the years. I usher for a whole month every year, sometimes two. I am pretty good with my family. I've raised respectable kids, not perfect, but they're respectable at least. I'm generous toward church and toward charities. I volunteer in the community. I try not to judge other people. I try to show love to them. I say my prayers. Pretty good, right? Well, I've known a lot of people who take pretty good care of their bodies, good diet and good exercise, and they still die. I've known several people who went to the hospital regularly for the treatments that they needed, some of the best care in the world, and they still died. I've known some tough people who survived World War II and have longevity in their genes, yet they still died too. The point is, we humans can't do anything about death. We can't stop it. We can't prevent it. We can't do anything about death. And God says here that we were dead in our transgressions, unable to do anything to save ourselves, unable to do anything to come to Him or to please Him. When we imagine otherwise, it shows just how delusional we are. Because to imagine that we can add to our salvation or do anything for it, that is to boast over God, to belittle God's work, and even, yes, to abandon the salvation He has won for us. We are not the cause. Our salvation is so great precisely because God is the great cause of it, with His love, His mercy, and His grace. But our salvation is also so great because it's great kindness. Perched high above the south end zone on Lambeau Field sits the Champions Club. This is a spacious area, a high-class area where you can have gatherings, hundreds of people. You can have great tasting food. There are tables up there. There are even padded stadium chairs that you can overlook the field with. The Champions Club has an amazing view, looking down over a sea of seats and the end zones and the green field. You can even peer over the edge of the walls to the trees and the town that's sprawling around for miles. This is an amazing experience and view. Could you imagine the kindness of someone who invited you up there to that Champions Club for a great meal and a great time? Or how exciting it would be to watch a big game, a playoff game from up there. That would be great. Probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience for many of us. But God's salvation for us brings us an even greater thing and even better seats, quite honestly. God made us alive with Christ. God raised us up with Christ. God seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And He did all this for us when He brought us to faith. Those who were spiritually dead made us spiritually alive by His power, by His gospel, by His Holy Spirit. He gave us the gift of faith so that you and I, we are alive to Him. We are alive in Christ. We have reserved seats on high with Him. We are as good as there. All this by faith. That's what Jesus said in the gospel lesson for today too, isn't it? Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. All this through faith, God's gift to you and me. And this is something that is extremely important for the coming ages too, not just for the here and now, but for the eternal future. It's incomparable. We often like to compare heaven to a wedding feast or a very luxurious mansion. We like to compare heaven to a golden city or a garden paradise. We try to compare heaven to a long vacation or some other special family reunion. But really, heaven is beyond compare. It is so much greater, so far beyond, so much higher than any amazing thing we can experience here, all because of God's kindness to us in Christ. Our salvation is so great. It's God's kindness to us in Christ. And it's also about a new creation. When God creates something, it is great. He created the blazing sun and the beautiful night sky. He created the vast oceans and the wide variety of animals all around the world out in nature. He created the flowing rivers and delicious fruit. And when God stepped back at the end of 6 days of creation, he surveyed everything that he had made and said, "It is very good. It is great." And the same is true of you and me. When God brought us to faith, he created us in Christ Jesus. You are a great creation, a new person, a new self, created in Christ, created to do good works that God prepared in advance for you to do. A good picture of this is if you ever visit the preschool room. There at the little tables, there are all kinds of things set out for the little children. At one table, maybe there's a bunch of plastic scissors and a bunch of pieces of paper with dotted lines that are straight or jagged or curved. When those children sit down at the table, they don't have to guess what they're going to do. It's all laid out for them. It's all prepared for them in advance. It's time for some cutting practice. And then at the next table over, there's all kinds of colored beads and bowls and the little pegboards. They get to arrange those on the pegboards. I'm sure the different students' projects may look a little bit different colors, different designs, but it's no secret what's there for them to do. It's that art project for that day, working on those fine motor skills, all laid out for them. Have you noticed, as God's creation, how much he lays out for you to do each week? So many good works God puts in your path, prepares in advance for you. There are worship services and Bible classes to grow and to praise him. There's maybe a wife for you to love, a husband for you to respect, children for you to raise in the Lord, parents for you to honor in the Lord, people for you to serve at your job or in your community. There's schoolwork and subjects and lessons laid out for you so that you can grow in your ability to serve others and your God. There are classmates for you to encourage, neighbors all around you for you to let your light shine toward, friends in your life and in your community for you to give an answer for the hope that you have, money for you to use to God's glory, all kinds of good works prepared for you in advance, laid out for you. It's no secret. God puts that there for you to do. You are saved to be a great creation. It's one thing that makes our salvation so great. When you go home later today, this afternoon, either putzing around the house or working out in the yard since the weather's been a little bit nicer, your shoulder starts to bother you a little bit. Then after a little while, you start feeling a little lightheaded, and suddenly a little squeezing sensation in your chest. Not sure exactly what to think of it, but one of your family members calls 911, and before you know it, an ambulance whisks you away to the hospital. It's a good thing, too, because if you would have waited a few more hours, you'd have been dead of a heart attack. When people have been through an experience like this, it changes everything. It changes the air they breathe. It changes their outlook every day. To be rescued from death like that, That's something you never forget and that you're always thankful for. How much more? For our God who has rescued us from eternal death. From our God who has saved us. He is the great cause of it by his grace and his mercy and his love. He has shown great kindness to us in Christ, incomparable for the ages to come that belongs to us already now. And he's made us a great creation to serve and honor him with good works every week. Let's treasure that. Let's hold it dear. Let's celebrate it every week. Let's not lose sight of it. Our salvation is so great. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with prayer. We praise you for your grace revealed in Christ Jesus, Heavenly Father. And we also praise you for shaping Dick and Kathy Knack's home with it. For 50 years, you grew their love with yours. You made it a home where the life of Jesus was central, where forgiveness reigned, and the word was joyfully followed. You supported them by supplying all they needed and then poured out even more. Today we join them in thanking you for your constant love from their first day until now, and we ask that you would continue to bless them all their years. And we join to pray in our Savior's name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He made his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Congregation may be seated. If you're visiting with us today, please note our practice of close communion as it's outlined on the screen and in your bulletin.
Take and drink your Savior's true blood.